Good morning, church. Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning, church. There we go. I got some. How many of you in here are looking forward to Resurrection Day? How many, right? So are we. So it's great to be able to celebrate that today. For Mike, this is 20 years you and I have been preaching together this year.
Wow.
20 years. 15 years before that, we worked together, so it's 35. You got another 15 in you?
I got them.
Because I think we get a cake at 50 years. That's what we need, more cake.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, it's a great honor, and it's a joy to partner in the gospel, Al, with you, as well as so many others on our staff and our church. And so what a blessing it is. Of course, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday together, but particularly today, as the world looks on, we want to shout it out even louder and clearer that there's hope for folks in the world. Al, before we get into our lesson, let me ask, how are things with your mom? I know she's been in the hospital and rehab.
A lot of you have asked me about that. Am I as loud as I sound? Maybe I'm just fired up today. Yeah, mom is doing well. She's still in rehab. She's getting her strength back to be able to come home. She did break out one day this week and went out and saw Dad. And we're breaking her out today for Easter Sunday lunch. But keep her in your prayers, just trying to get her lined out and strong. Yeah, you can give her a little applause. Dad will have to tell her she got some applause today. She'll love that. We do appreciate your thoughts and prayers. Mom's spirit is great, as you would expect. So we just got to get that body along with that spirit. So appreciate that.
And by the way,
you're gone.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Guess I'm going to be preaching this sermon today.
Hey, John, come here, Mike.
Smith used to call this stereophonic preaching when Mike and I would preach together. If he was here today, that's what he would say.
Let's try this.
Hope that means you got some harmony with your singing,
yeah.
That's it.
So,
preachers love Resurrection Sunday. It's kind of our Super Bowl every year because we get to talk about one of our favorite things, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And really, it is the central theme of the entire Bible and the gospel story and the narrative. If you think about it, the Old Testament, everything in it points to, man, he's coming. And then you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's here. And then you read from Acts to Revelation, and you know what he says? I'm coming back. And when I come back, there's going to be a great resurrection, and we're going to be together forever. So this day becomes the centerpiece of who Jesus is for us. And so the question is, as we launch into this, do you believe, do you live it, and are you looking forward to Resurrection Day? Because that's going to change everything.
You know, we've been studying out, we've been preaching out of the Psalms, and so today, actually, Psalm 16 is our text, but it encompasses a whole lot, it's coupled with a lot of other texts. And so we're going to be working some out of Psalm 16. It gets quoted when Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2. Let me read just a little bit of Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 32. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it's impossible for death to keep hold on him. David said about him, that's where we get our Psalm 16 passage. He's going to quote David here. I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
He goes on to say, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Can the congregation say amen? Amen. The greatest sermon ever preached, because it was the first one after Jesus had resurrected and ascended back to the Father. And it impacts people. Jerry Ann Blankenship was telling me a story today. She and Mindy, they do, you know, prison ministry work. They baptized over 100 women this past week. 100. What? How about that? How awesome is that? That's what the resurrection does. Jerry Ann told me, because they baptized so many, Mike, that she said that night she dreamed she was just kept baptizing people in her dream. And I get it, it's repetitive action, right? But she said in her dream that Dad showed up when she was baptized and all these people, Dad, you showed up. And Dad said, well, Jerry Ann, I want you to baptize me. I want to find out what it's like to be baptized by a woman. That's what happened in her dream. So I don't know what that means, but I love the story. And I love the story most of all, that the gospel goes out just like it did here in Acts chapter 2. And what I love about it is that Peter chose to quote Psalm 16 in this first sermon, and Mike, so did Paul in Acts 13 in his first public sermon. That tells you how powerful this thought is of the resurrection, and this idea that we can live beyond the grave.
So the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope beyond the grave. That's the first thing we really always center in on here. And the resurrection of Jesus is the central theme of the good news. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15, we quoted a lot around here, but there when the gospel is preached, he says that that gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, is of first importance.
Yep.
If it's first importance, then we need to keep it first. First things first, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. And because you would be surprised how many religious groups and churches get wrapped up into 100 other different things that they have make priority other than the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
You know, I used to say, and it's because it's a common phrase, and it's not wrong, but I used to say that people, especially believers, passed away. But, I've changed my terminology. The more I've seen people cross over, now I say they've crossed over. Because they're just waiting on the resurrection, right? Even in the New Testament, it's not that you die anymore. You just fall asleep. You know what that means? You're going to wake up. You're going to wake up. And that's what I love about it. That's the power of the resurrection. And I can tell you this. Many of us have seen and been in front of that casket and watched our loved one cross over. And while we're sad because we're not seeing them for a little while, we know we're going to see them again. And guess what? They don't want to come back. They've made the trip, right? And when you look in the Bible and you see nobody, remember when Samuel, in 1 Samuel 18, whenever he was called up by a witch because Saul had all the wrong things in mind, the first thing he said is, why have you disturbed me and brought me back here? He didn't want to come back. The only time I ever saw anybody that wanted to come back or have someone come back was the rich man in Luke 16. And you know why? He wanted somebody to go tell his family that everything his life was about is not important. It's not about money. It's not about riches. It's not about fame. What he said was, if you could just go back and tell them, live for Christ, that would be the only reason we'd want to come back. We are blessed with the great hope of the resurrection.
You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul wrote, we do not grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. I remember, just this weekend I was visiting with someone about grief and handling it and the things that they do. Because I said, everybody handles grief a little bit differently. But as Christians, we have hope. I can remember, Al, when some of my family passed away, Barbara King Barber's husband, Charles. Some of you old folks will remember Charles, their son, Bruce. And I sat down to talk to Barbara one day, and I said, my mother-in-law, I said, Barbara, now, if you ever want me to take you out to the cemetery or anything, I'll be glad to do that. I'll take you out if you want to visit or whatever. And because she never went. And she said, no, I don't want to go. And I said, are you sure you don't, you want to go? She said, no. She said, they're not there. And it just made me sad anyway. So why would I want to do that, So she was so practical. But she had such a strong faith. They're not there. They're not there. They're with the Lord. But one day, those graves will open up and we'll all be there together. And that will be a great, great day.
The Bible also says in Hebrews 2:15, we are freed from the slavery of our fear of death. We don't have to be enslaved by that. I mean, none of us look forward to that moment, but at the same time, I'm not in slavery. I don't have that fear. I know where I'm going to go. I know what the crossover is going to mean. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a blessing that we live that hope out every single day. We are lights that shine in the darkness with hope. But I love also that Peter goes on to show the resurrection along with the ascension and the reign of Jesus blesses us in a whole new way. Not only do we have hope, but we have the blessing of holiness to go with that hope. Listen to what he said in Acts 2:33. He continues his sermon by saying, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Back to Psalms passage in Psalm 16, the first few verses of that, he reminds us of this holiness idea. The writer says, David says there, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the, and I love this, what he calls it, the holy people. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom all is my delight. So this holiness that exists, not only do we have a living hope, now within us we have a living holiness because of the Holy Spirit of God. When people sometimes want to acknowledge how someone is living or would say something like, well, yeah, he's holy, we kind of shy away from that terminology. We would never say we're holy. We know our own faults and our own sins and our own mess ups. But God calls us holy. And I think we need to be able to acknowledge, just like David did to the people around him, that you are a holy people. This group right here, you are holy. Say that with me. You are holy. That's not any kind of self-righteousness. No, because look, I've known some of you a long time. You ain't holy. And I ain't either, right? Not in my efforts and not in my accomplishments. But we're made holy by Jesus Christ. You're a holy people. Al, I turn it over to Holy Al right here.
I'm a holy man. he said, apart from you, I have no good thing. So we're not taking the credit for that. We know it's because of him. But if someone, after you hear this sermon today, if someone comes up to you and says, are you some kind of holy roller? You say, absolutely, because I roll holy. That's what I do. And I do it because of what Christ did in me, right? Yeah, we're holy rollers.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. It's okay. We are set apart. That word literally means to be set apart and sanctified. We are called. And when you understand and when you see that resurrected king that we sang about earlier, that's when you know you too can be resurrected. You remember when Stephen was standing there after he had preached that sermon, he looked up into heaven. What did he see? He saw a resurrected Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm coming. Right? Paul saw the same thing in Acts chapter 9 on that road to Damascus. Who are you, Lord? And then all of a sudden a blind man could see. Same thing happened to me 41 years ago. Sitting on a city street in New Orleans, I finally understood a resurrected king could resurrect me. It changes us. It sets us apart. It makes us holy. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, you holy rollers, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. It's His power. He does the setting apart, but we live in Him.
So not only does it say you're sanctified, it also says you're safe and secure. I love Romans 8, the very first verse. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
For those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. No means no. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That old law that says every time I sin, I die. And now all of a sudden I got to pray real quick so I can be saved again. I'm in and out of the light all the time. That is a false theology. That's legalism. It kills us. No means no. There's no when you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. You're walking with the Spirit and He's growing you in holiness and producing things in your life. And so we're safe and we're secure in Christ Jesus.
So not only are we set apart, sanctified, safe, and secure, but we're also step by step following the Spirit's lead because He's bearing fruit in us. Paul would write in Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, put to death, raised to live now this new life. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He does it. And we simply follow His lead.
And that holiness of, that exists and that God grows in us shows a clear distinction of choosing God over everything else. We choose God over everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God. Every time you see the word kingdom, you think of the word reign. That means rule over. God reigns in our life, in our heart, in our actions. He's ruling over. Now, we have struggles and we battle it from time to time, but we're still growing and God is raising us up. In Psalm 16, 4 through 6, back to that psalm where David wrote, he says this, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their name on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
I love that line. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Most time we think about boundaries, we think, oh, don't hold me back and don't allow me to do what I want to do. Those boundary lines were put there because it's what's best for you. How many times have you suffered for following false gods? Man, I have. I dedicated all of my teenage years to a false god, and I suffered greatly. I suffered even afterwards because of the consequences of sin. Ray Melton used to say, just because you're through with sin, that means it's through with you. There are consequences that follow us, right? The clear lines are drawn in Christ. We want to walk away from that. And the quicker you can get to Jesus, the less you will suffer for doing things that are false and wrong. You got to get there as fast as you can. I love it when we see a young person grow up in faith and then flourish in that faith and marry someone else in that same faith and then live their life for Jesus and not have some terrible horror story of all the bad things that happened to him. Praise God when we can follow Him and keep in step with the Spirit as soon as humanly possible. That's what we're called to. It's the resurrected life that changes us. Holiness changes your perspective. It changes your praise and your purpose. Here's how he would close in Psalm 16. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Don't you love that? a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me to have that confidence in who He is.
I love that phrase, delightful inheritance. Remember Romans 8? We are co-heirs with Jesus, so whatever He inherits, we inherit. I mean, don't you like that idea that you're going to get something beyond? You're going to inherit something. The church, Al, doesn't have to worry about money anymore because I got an email the other day from Africa. I'm kin to somebody, and we're going to have all kinds of money coming in here. There's an inheritance.
I knew you were a Nigerian prince. We had to find out.
Yeah. So, but as crazy as that is, there are people who fall for that thing because inheritance. Somehow or another, I'm going to get. Now, I have gotten an inheritance. Matter of fact, this week my brother called me. It's been a couple of years since my mom passed away, my brother called me. He said, "Mikey, Bonnie came through for us again." And I was like, "What does that mean?" And I found this insurance policy she took out in 1958. And they contacted me, and we're getting $200 a piece. So I'm excited about it, Al.
That's big money in Pocahontas, Arkansas.
Yes, it is. I'll take it. My mom, Bonnie Bell, just keeps on blessing me, you know. But inheritance. We want something. We get something there, right? Because we're connected, because we're family. We inherit everything that Jesus inherits. We're co-heirs with Christ. What a great hope we have.
How many times have you thought, man, if I won the lottery, here's what I would do? You have won the lottery. You got heaven. And that's greater than anything that this life can offer. Amen. We won the lottery. And the winning ticket is Jesus. It's a blessing for us all. You know, my dad has a saying, and he says a lot more now. He says, Al, the older I get, the more the resurrection looms large. And that's true for any of us, right? Because we don't know. There's no guaranteed time. There's no guarantee to how the crossover is going to happen. But we all know it's going to be there. Unless the Lord comes back, we're going to face that. So this last couple of weeks since I was last here with you, but Lisa and I both, we're getting at that age where, you know, stuff starts showing up. Is it this? Is it cancer? Is it that? I'd had a little situation with prostate, waited to hear what they said, prayed about it, said, "Lord, I'm ready," whatever. Test came back negative. Praise the Lord. Glad I don't have to face that. And it was just a few weeks later, Lisa found something, lump, gets it checked out. Her test came back positive. So that's our new fight. It's our new battle. And by the way, there's no one I would rather fight it with than you, babe. God has created an amazing woman out of my soulmate. And really the only time she showed any anxiousness was wondering if she had to fight this fight. But we both look, at one time in our life, I'm going to be honest with you, this would have been devastating to us because we weren't right with God. Because we had not submitted our will to Him. But once you do that, it really does change how you view everything. Your hope, your holiness, all of it. It's true. So she's going to have surgery in May. We met with the doctor. We walk in. The surgeon is there. He said, this movie that your family did about called The Blind. I said, yeah. He said, I just wanted y'all to know I invested in that movie. I said, really? I said, well, I'm liking you already because you make good investments and you know who Jesus is, right? That's the kind of guy I want cutting on me or my soulmate. But I got to be honest with you. If it had been up to me, I would have rather got the news it was me and not her. But we fight the fight together. And, you know, when we face darkness, that's when the light needs to shine the brightest. And many of you that are so close to me have been fighting that fight. Some crossed over because of cancer. But you know what? Resurrection. There's no holding us back. And the reason I want to tell you about today in this sermon is because I want you to know that one, we of course covet your prayers and want those, but not just for healing, not just that we won't face this fight for a long period of time, but that we will be faithful in the fight, that we will live out the light, that we will show that we really do believe in the resurrection and we have no fear and we don't grieve like men who have no hope. That's what we want to do, because our stories continue to be written every single day. And no matter what you face, and no matter what comes your way, no matter whether you pass on and go to that crossover sooner rather than later, we know we have a Lord who loves us, saves us, and redeems us.
And what David wrote 1,000 years before Jesus came on the scene turns out to be a reality in Jesus' lifetime as he comes out of that ground. And then 2,000 years after that, we're still preaching and teaching and sharing the same story. And it's not just theology, as Al just said in sharing his own story. It's not just, it's life.
That's it.
It's real. We're all going to face this thing called death unless the Lord comes first. But boy, what a great thing to know that we all face it together with hope that's solid and secure. Is yours solid and secure? Because at the end of when Peter preached it, quoting that psalm, he says this: they were cut to the heart and asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A little later that day, there were 3,000 dripping wet people who discovered the reality of the resurrection and the hope that they have in this one called Jesus.
Amen.
And you can experience the same thing today. If you need to respond by being baptized into Christ, that's what our invitation is. If you just need to get back on track, we're a family. We pray for each other. We help each other. We're in this thing together. There's nobody better than anybody else. We're all trying to walk in holiness together. We're putting our faith in the one called Jesus. So if you have a need, would you come while we stand and while we sing?